Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing, and it is indeed a beautiful day here in Orlando, Florida, and I hope it's been a beautiful day wherever you are throughout this beautiful earth that we live in. That's Indiari reminding us of the most powerful attitude we can have is to see the beautiful day before us and all the lessons that we can learn each day that we travel throughout this earth. My name is Beata. Soul Purpose Healing has begun, and we are on a journey as my sister AZ, and she'll be joining us shortly on this broadcast. She's journeying all across the United States to see and experience life in the different states, in the different communities, in the different environments. And that's something that many of us need to do as we ponder today's topic. I chose this topic today because I listened to an interview of a man who survived prostate cancer. And he is actually thriving because he's been a creator now of a documentary that he is sharing his journey with prostate cancer and helping people see that, yes, you can survive this dis-ease, this temporary state of lack of ease when you take your mind and use it in a way that the Creator purposed for it to be used, and that is to create, to learn more about your environment, to learn more about this awesome body. And so today we're going to be talking a little bit first about how to survive and thrive with prostate cancer. And the facts are these. There are some 2 million men living in the United States with prostate cancer. And every year, there are over 200,000 men who get diagnosed, and yet there are also 27,000 who die from the disease, or should we say the treatment for the disease. And so today we want to just bring some wisdom to this topic and share the importance of getting out in nature and traveling and doing something different with your life when you're diagnosed with any type of disease. Now, for those of you who are not aware, the prostate gland, which is a very important gland in the makeup of the kingdom called the human body, this is where part of the production for semen takes place. And when this gland is damaged emotionally, then it begins to get inflamed. Now, some of you may be aware, if you've listened to this show, I've talked about this disease before, but I just think it's important as we women are rising up, taking our place as the goddesses that we are, that this topic is important because we want our men to rise up too and take their place as the kings that they are. And so a little bit of time on how to survive when prostate disease shows up. And doctors are always quick to examine you with the finger, and that's how they determine. They determine how the health of the prostate by putting a finger up your behind and feeling that prostate with their finger. And most doctors are trained to feel the prostate in this examination with the finger. And they can tell whether there's an inflammation or whether the prostate is normal. Now, I am all about teaching people how to take charge of their health. And let me just make a disclaimer. I am not a medical doctor. I am a holistic life coach. I'm a herbal medicine. I'm an herbalist, master herbalist. And my mission in life and on this show is not to replace any professional medical advice that you may be getting. My mission in life is to raise your consciousness, to raise your awareness of who you are as a masterful, creative human being. And so when I speak of the prostate, it's not that I have one, but it's that I have learned and I have spoken to hundreds of men in my journey in this life about their prostate issue. Yes, hundreds of men, because I worked in a health food store for 10 years, actually. And the health food store is almost like a doctor's office. You have customers come in when they have had enough of the medical system, and they come into the health food store either trying to maintain their health or seeking help, trying to survive what they have called as misuse or misinformation in the medical system. So I have literally spoken to hundreds of men about their prostate problems, selling them saw palmetto, teaching them about changing their diet. And so many men have shared with me their journey and their challenge with prostate cancer. So it's not that I'm an expert, but I have some experience in hearing and listening to the woes and complaints about prostate cancer. And I remember one customer in particular, an elderly Jamaican man, who I became very good friends with him and his wife, because somehow they drew me into their family, and we tried to help this man overcome his prostate issues, along with other issues, gallbladder issues. He had a number of health problems. But my role was mainly to observe the relationship that this man had with his very strong-willed Jamaican wife. And I observed over several years the conflict that existed with this man and his wife. Very little harmony. When this man wanted to start juicing carrots and other vegetables, the wife said, "Nah, I don't think I want to do that. I'm going to keep cooking my Jamaican food." And so the man got a little frustrated, and this was only within a few years. This couple had been married for probably close to 50 years, but I could see that there was tension in this relationship as they continued to battle each other's wills, strong wills, and to discuss the lack of agreement that was going on. So in this, getting to know this gentleman and his wife and seeing the lack of cooperation, the lack of harmony, this was my first clue about the emotional connection to prostate disease. So that prostate disease became for me in all my readings and in my most current experience of listening to a man who has written a produced a documentary. That these issues with the prostate, that male gland that produces semen, the life force, are really all about conflicts with people, women in particular, most likely. It could even be a daughter, a female person where that man is in conflict with, and they are having a struggle with their masculinity. And so we are at a place now where this is an epidemic. And the women on the earth are doing their part, most of them, some of them, to rise up above all disease, to rise up above all conflicts, and to become the leaders and the goddesses that we were intended to become. So surviving and thriving with prostate cancer is all about, number one, recognizing that when you get that diagnosis, it is a tap on the shoulder that it's time for you to make some changes in your life, mainly in your relationships with other women, in your fear that you're holding on to, and any other emotions that are causing an acid condition in your body. There's a pH factor in every disease. Every disease is motivated, moved, and influenced by your pH. If you're holding on to fear and shame and guilt and regret, then you're going to have an acid pH. If you're eating a lot of animal products and drinking more than one cup of coffee a day and eating a lot of cooked foods, you're going to have an acid pH. If you're not singing songs like we just heard, it's a beautiful day, life is good, I'm hopeful, I'm not in fear, then you're going to have an acid pH. And so waking up is the first step to having overcoming prostate cancer and thriving. And what I mean by thriving, the word thrive means to grow. The word thrive means to develop and prosper and flourish. And the only way you're going to flourish, develop, and prosper when you have a disease is when you wake up and realize it's time for a change in your lifestyle and your diet. So these are the two most important areas that we want to bring out tonight on surviving and thriving prostate. We want to help our men to overcome these ailments, because guess what? When you go to the doctor's office, you need to keep one thing in mind, and that's the Hippocratic Oath. Most doctors are not keeping this very sacred oath. And it states in part that that the doctor is going to do certain things to help you get well. The Hippocratic Oath was one of the oldest binding documents in history. It was written by Hippocrates, and it was still held sacred by physicians many, 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 many years ago to treat the diseases and illnesses to the best of one's ability, to preserve a patient's privacy, and to teach the secrets of medicine to the next generation. Today, we have doctors who are ignoring this Hippocratic Oath. And I'll just give you an example. I won't read the oldest version because it does go into a lot of, actually it goes into gods and goddesses and making those witnesses, which isn't a bad idea, but they revised it. So the more modern version of the Hippocratic Oath says that they will swear to fulfill to the best of their ability and judgment this covenant. Some of the agreements or swearing statements that they make, they will respect the hard-won scientific gains of physicians in whose steps they walk and gladly share knowledge as is mine with those who are to follow. I will apply for the benefit of the sick all measures which are required, avoiding those twin traps of over-treatment. I will remember that there is art to medicine as well as science, and that warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. Let me repeat that one. That's a really good one. This is the modern version of the Hippocratic Oath that most doctors are supposed to be following, but most doctors are not following this. This one states, I will remember that there is art to medicine as well as science, and that warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. Most times we go into a doctor's office, there is no concern about a person's life journey, which is really what has to happen when a person has prostate cancer. If the doctor is going to help that man overcome it, there has to be some sympathy and understanding about the person's journey in life, what they're going through, particularly what their relationships are like. So we're not seeing that. And they're supposed to be considerate, and that's supposed to outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. Unfortunately, doctors are very quick to suggest surgery and medication or the chemist's drug, or what we call on this show as witchcraft. And they say they will not be ashamed to say, I know not, nor will I fail to call in my colleagues when the skills of another are needed for a patient's recovery. Now, here's another one. I will remember that I do not treat a fever chart, a cancerous growth, but a sick human being whose illness may affect the person's family and economic stability. My responsibility includes these related problems if I am to care adequately for the sick. I will prevent disease whenever I can, for prevention is preferable to cure. When's the last time you went into a doctor's office and he offered you any advice about preventing a disease? I will remember that I remain a member of society with special obligations to all my fellow human beings, those sound of mind and body, as well as the infirm. And then there's, if I do not violate this oath, may I enjoy life and art, respect it while I live, and remember it with affliction thereafter. May I always act so to preserve the finest traditions of my calling, and may I long experience the joy of healing those who seek my help. Most doctors are not interested in healing you. They're only interested in covering up the symptoms so that you will return for more drugs, you will return for more treatments, because that's how they make their money. Now, there's a piece in here somewhere in the original that says something about food being the medicine. This is where many men, especially who are diagnosed with prostate cancer, have to make the change and transformation, is looking at their food as medicine. That's where the thriving will occur, the growth, the prospering, and the development in the mind, when men begin to recognize that the prostate cancer is very likely being caused by a lack of dietary consciousness. Men who are struggling with their bladder or erectile dysfunction, they're the ones who are going to be maybe more willing to make changes, because running to the bathroom at night 3 or 4 times at a time and not being able to have an erection will usually motivate a man to do something different, usually, I think. When we get to that place, what is the Creator's desire? Again, this show, Soul Purpose Healing, is all about getting us back into alignment with the Creator, Yahuwah's plan and purpose of wisdom over understanding and knowledge. So when you, for you to thrive with prostate cancer, it means you begin to seek knowledge. You begin to seek wisdom. You begin to seek understanding of this awesomely made body that you live in, this vessel that we live in, this soul within a vessel. And then when you do that, the cells in the body, the intelligent cells in the body, begin to help you or assist you to heal. This has been my experience for over 10 years with clients and customers in the health food store, that when they begin to make the change of their lifestyle and diet, and especially an attempt to heal their relationships, which, by the way, may mean leaving a relationship if you want to survive. My friend, my Jamaican friend who had the prostate cancer, he died, it's been about 5 years ago. His wife lived on with several health issues of her own, but he could not leave that relationship, which I observed was very toxic, because even in his attempt to get well, there was no cooperation with the wife to help him get well, other than to nag him and criticize him. So when men stay in that type of a relationship where it's very toxic, the negative energy is flowing constantly, and they're not healing, in fact, they're getting more diagnoses of gallstones and all these other things, then that's when sometimes you have to make your decision whether you want to stay in a toxic relationship and continue with your diseases, or you make a decision to leave the toxic relationship and get well by changing your lifestyle, changing your music that you're listening to, changing the type of people that you associate with. So these are some of the things that I have observed over the years, and there's a documentary coming out by Mr. Peter Starr. Peter Starr is an award-winning filmmaker. He has produced a documentary called Surviving Prostate Cancer Without Surgery, Drugs, or Radiation, because that's exactly what he did. He went around the world interviewing other doctors. He decided he was not going to do the traditional medical route. And some, I think, 11 years later, he's still telling his story, because he chose to wake up. He recognized the emotional connection to his disease, and he is helping other people. And that's how you're going to thrive with prostate cancer. It's a wake-up call. It can help you grow. It can help you develop. It can help you get well quickly when you recognize that the Creator's purpose for any disease, especially this disease, is to help you get back into alignment with the love and purpose of your Creator. Now, here are 4 steps that I read about today, in fact, to healing prostate cancer naturally. 1, get blood work done. Find out what levels, vitamin D especially, what level nutrition that you need. What are your deficiencies in your blood? And that will help you move forward with a plan to nourish your body more accurately than you have in the past. 2, recommend looking for toxins. Find out with urine and fecal analysis what types of toxins are in your body, especially heavy metals like mercury, which could be coming from the teeth, in fact. And then 3, do a saliva panel to check your hormones. Hormones are the messengers in your body. And if the messengers are not at the levels that they need to be, then you're going to have problems or a greater struggle trying to get well. And then number four, check your emotions. Address your emotional traumas. What type of traumas did you have in your childhood that are still being triggered in the relationships that you're having with women or other people in your life today? Men don't like to deal with their emotions, but they really need to. There are many alternatives, but one of my favorite ways to deal with the emotions is emotional freedom techniques. That's tapping into your meridian points on your face and getting into the reasons why you feel the way you do. Yes, men, when you get prostate cancer, it's time to talk about your feelings. That may be hard for some, but that's the key to surviving and thriving with prostate cancer, overcoming it, and moving on to help others and share with others how you survive. That's what this journey is all about, learning the lessons and then going and around teaching others about the lessons you've learned. That's the beauty of it. That's why it's a beautiful day, even when you're diagnosed with some type of cancer, because you can wake up and start living your life differently and see your body transform, change, and heal right before your eyes. So I see that my sister AZ has been on the line waiting patiently, and we want to get a catch up on where her journey has taken her and where she is at this point, and, of course, all the wonderful lessons that she's learning. So, Sister AZ, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Very grateful to be on this side of the dirt. However, sister, it seems like I have been driving for a century. I started out last Sunday, and I'm still driving. I logged in about 2,000 and something miles. 2,700 miles. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my. That's
and I'm coming up on this sign that says the Cherokee Dam in Knoxville, Tennessee. And
you said the Cherokee Dam?
The Cherokee Dam, D-A-M, and
okay.
I'm going to pull off because I do not like talking. I'm going to pull into a pilot. I'm off of 417 Jefferson City, Tennessee, I believe it is, and I will call you back. It's a Cherokee Dam, and it's called Douglas Lake. I wish
okay.
I could go, but I can't because I got to stay focused. On getting up to ARC by in the morning. I still probably have 100 miles to go, I think, because I'm in Knoxville, and that's close to South Boston, Virginia, however long it is. But I will call you back. I will chime in about 10 minutes as soon as I pull in and do what I need to do. I'm listening to
okay.
Your show about the situation with cancer and nature. I'm just having an orgasmic time, everybody, being here in the nature. So I'll call
mm-hmm.
you back slowly.
Okay.
I can't begin to tell you how excited I am. Call you back.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Our sister, AZ, has been traveling from Arizona on her way to Virginia. She's on a mission with mineral people, with stones, to build a medicine wheel in the state of Virginia. And it's interesting, when you have any type of disease, this is the type of activity I have seen people get involved in that heals their disease. Whether it's the brother in Georgia who had all kinds of drug addictions from being in the war, he turned to his Native American heritage. When you're going to thrive with prostate cancer, when you turn back to the good things that our ancestors taught us, whether it's farming, growing vegetables, or doing medicine work as like a shaman, these type of activities take us back to nature. These type of activities get us back into alignment with our Creator and their purpose in us to bring peace to the earth. All of us are so aware of the chaos around us, the wars that we're fighting, the violence in the streets of the cities, the murders and killings in urban areas. We're also aware of that because if you watch the news, which I don't, but I hear it on the news from other people, when you watch the news or hear about these things, you can become distressed. You can become depressed. You can become so conscious of the negative that you forget about the positive energy that is here available to all of us. It's available to each and every one of us to grasp and hold on to and walk in when we make that choice. And that's why prostate cancer or any disease is meant to wake us up. Wake us up. Because the human body is so awesomely made that the brain releases chemicals into the body from traumas that we have in our life. The brain releases chemicals from stress that we have in our life. I'm sure many of you have been in a job or been in situations where the stress was so great that you had headaches or sweating or just fatigue or just tension in your body. When you have so much stress in your life that your body becomes tense, then that's the sign, if you're conscious, that it's time to take a break and just breathe deeply. This is my teaching always, what I have learned in this journey of 60 years now on the planet, and I'm just beginning to thrive in my journey on this earth. I went through some major challenges last year and this year, and it's a new chapter for me to thrive and to be in total peace about my purpose to raise the consciousness, particularly about reaping and sowing. And the aspect of prostate cancer that is karmic in its nature, there is definitely an aspect about any disease in the body that has a karmic energy to it, that is a reaping and sowing energy to it. You reap what you sow. Nature, the Creator's earth, is all about reaping and sowing. We would not have trees on this earth, on this planet, if we had not sown a seed for those plants to grow at some point. We would not have flowers. We would not have food on the earth if there had not been a seed planted to bring forth the flowers, the stem, the branches, the leaves, and the fruit to feed the earth. So we ourselves are even a seed. We started as a seed in our mother's womb. And if you really want to go back to the original, we started as a seed in the heavens, in the stars. We started as a seed in the mind of our Creator with purpose to come to this earth, to start in the womb as a seed, and to grow and develop with divine energy to become the people we are today on this earth with an assignment, with divine purpose. And so every one of us is subject to the law of reaping and sowing. So when a man has developed prostate cancer, the question becomes, what seed did I plant for this to develop? We have to go there. That is the root cause of the prostate cancer, is that there was a seed planted for that prostate to become inflamed, to press on the bladder, to interfere with the urethra tube that brings urine out. All those things become affected by the prostate becoming inflamed or diseased because there was a seed planted. Now, what was the seed that was planted that could bring about prostate cancer? Well, as I said earlier, the seed that's planted is one of a relationship conflict. Relationships with women, more than likely, because of the prostate strength, male energy strength, and or it could be even a relationship with another man if that is the type of close relationship that that person has. The main point is that the seed was planted in the prostate was energy. It was an energetic seed that transmitted from the brain. The brain is created from the Creator to transmit chemicals, transmit energy to particular organs in the body to let us know when we are out of alignment with the Creator's purpose. Every organ, every tissue, every gland, every cell in our body has a purpose. There are trillions of cells in the body. Each cell has a brain. Each cell has a brain so that it can receive the messages from our own mind. And the mind has a brain that so that it can receive messages from the Creator's energy in the cosmos, in the heavens. We get messages from above imparted to us here on the earth. And just as that routine or that process is a heavenly process of energy, so it is with the brain and the cells in the brain. Our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts are energy. Our thoughts create chemicals that flow in relay form, that flow in patterns of light or darkness to organs for a particular reason to wake us up, to let us know that we are out of alignment. When that begins to happen, you know when it's happening. It's just that you have actually your body senses that these messages are flowing from your brain to your body, but we usually ignore the messages. When we have headaches, when we have pain in our body, do we stop and say, let's fast? Let's drink more juices. Let's drink more green drinks. Let's eat more salads. Let's cut out the sugar. Let's cut out all the processed food for a while. Usually not. We continue in the same behavior, even though the messages of the brain are talking to us, even though the body is talking to us, because the body is receiving messages from the thoughts of the individual. So the thoughts of an individual who develops prostate cancer, excuse me, are often that the thoughts of a male person who develops prostate are often those of resentment. It could also be anger. It could also be fear of losing someone because of the jealousy that develops, the fear of seeing a partner with someone else, even if it's temporary, if it's a friend or something. The thoughts of that man who over years, resentment after resentment of what someone did to them, a spouse or even a female friend who left them abruptly. The cutting off of a relationship suddenly could trigger inflammation in the prostate. And so the thoughts have to become one of acceptance. The thoughts have to become one of forgiveness. The thoughts have to become those of love, of honoring the human vessel, of honoring even your thoughts that these thoughts are real, that I'm feeling, honoring and recognizing the thoughts that a person is feeling, acknowledging that these thoughts are not thoughts you want to hold on to. And especially when it comes to seeing a doctor, acknowledging that the fear is not going to take hold of you. One of the things that they bring out in this documentary is that the thing that seems to be common among men who have a prostate cancer diagnosis is the fear in their voice and in their system when they come out of the doctor's office. The one thing we have to remind everyone when they come out of a doctor's office, the documentary says, is you're not going to die tomorrow. That doctor is giving you his perspective, his professional opinion. But what does your body say? Your body is saying, I want to live. I want to live. So we don't let the fear control the decision-making process of that doctor who would like to keep you in his particular path. Because if that urologist doesn't do surgery, he's not going to get paid. It's all about money in the medical system. They have broken the Hippocratic Oath in most doctors' professions and most doctors' offices and most doctors' businesses. The Hippocratic Oath that basically says they won't do any harm to you has been broken. They are following their own plan. And so the thing is for you to do is to try to get your life together over a six-month period and honor or monitor those goals that you have set. And that's the better way. That's the way to thrive in the long term. Do not let fear rule your decision-making process. Your decision-making process has to be ruled by faith in this amazing human vessel to heal itself when the mind and the thoughts are geared toward hope and truth and light and purpose and miracles. Miracles happen when people change their attitude. Miracles happen when people change their lifestyle. Miracles happen when people change their diet. Because you can almost be assured that most people who are diagnosed with any disease, they've had a diet that was not nourishing them. And that could be a diet of emotional malnourishment as well. People who are not loving themselves, not taking into account this magnificent, magnificent body that they live in, and how it can do wonderful things when the thoughts are right, when the thoughts are in alignment with the Creator's plan. And the Creator wants us to remember our childhood only so that we can begin to see what some of the subconscious thoughts we're still holding on to. So many of us are still holding on to the childhood wounds. And what the documentary brings out, or what Mr. Peter brings out, is that typically the worst emotional insults are before the age of 7 and 8, an age where your rational cortex, which can help you sort through some of the issues, is not functioning ideally, as it hasn't matured yet. And it can profoundly damage the circuitry in your body and kill you 50 or 60 years later. So one of the things that Peter's recommendations are for in this documentary is that you address and release emotional traumas. Emotional traumas are very, very big in the root cause of diseases. So you're going to thrive when you address the emotional traumas, because that means growth. It means letting go of the pain that you experienced as a child and moving into a new, exciting journey and adventure or future that gives you new hope, that helps you see the love and the miracles that the Creator has planned for you. And there's a beautiful song that India Ari sings about disease, the worst disease in the world. See if I can find it. And she talks about the what's really driving the pain and suffering in a lot of people is not the disease itself, but it's the emotional stuff that happens and the lack of love. Listen up to these words on disease by India Ari. So that's the answer to thriving. As she sings, it's learning to love again. It's learning to love yourself again. Learning to change the path by renewing your lifestyle and your diet and your emotions. So I see Sister AZ is back on the line, so we're going to bring her in to continue sharing her journey across country. Sister AZ, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. It may be a bit noisy because I'm sitting here in the Waffle House parking lot. I just I need to rest, so I'm drinking me some water and enjoying just, sister, just, wait a minute, just enjoying this greenery. It's just amazing.
That's what was missing in Arizona.
Sister, when you're down in the desert, my body has gotten so acclimated to being in green and digging in the earth and feeling the oxygen of those trees and just all of it. Even I've noticed the people are different, including my own family. It is there's a harshness, an attitude that's different. And I've observed, because, you know, many people do not, you know, they don't know about the sweat lodges. They do not get into nature, the kind of nature that we have access to. And I'm just totally, abundantly grateful, Sister Viata, that the Creator, the Most High, has given me the opportunity to take the opportunity to purge in nature. And I know without a doubt that all of the anomalies that I've dealt with since I've been on this planet, I remember back as far as the age of 2, and I'm 64 now. You know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that I've been able to have the insight to just purge myself in nature, in sacred fires, in sacred stones, and ones that are like you art, 7. I could go on and on and on and on. Sometimes we have to learn that we must detach from our families that we came here with, because if we choose to be in harmony with our highest selves, then sometimes we're going to have to let those relatives go because they're very, very toxic. And I'm just grateful that I'm sitting here where I am, sister, and just giving thanks for the small things, that to be able, no matter how challenging it's been for me to travel like this, I can stop at a rest stop, and the park rangers or whoever the maintenance people that are there, they intuitively know that when they see Mama AZ stretched out on her yoga mat on the table, on a picnic table, they just watch me, watch over me, and let me be until I can rest. So this is, I don't choose to spend the money in the rest area. However, I can lay my yoga mat and get my sacred blanket and cover up with my pillow and cover a towel over my head so the lights won't disturb me. And in a few minutes, I'm out of there, either with Matt Kahn or some meditation, you know, on my phone, and I'm in another zone until I'm able to refresh and wake up. And I give thanks to the park rangers or to the people who are overseers of that particular park or rest area. I give thanks that they were there to watch over me and protect me, because actually I wouldn't want to be in a hotel. I'd rather be out there in the trees, in the nature, you know, with the truckers and the common people who are traveling, you know, to their destination journey. You never know, and who you're going to meet, who the Creator has set up for you to meet. And I tell you, sister, more and more of us should choose to be out in nature and meet other ones that are on that page. It's extremely healing. It truly is. And I'm abundantly grateful. Abundantly grateful.
You said a key word, the word harsh came, you spoke about those people who are not ready for this journey of healing and restoration and reformation and transformation. And that's what I experienced early this last week, I guess, because we're getting into a new, it's the harshness of some of my relatives and the sleepiness of their life and the eating of dead food and the eating of toxic food. And that's what creates, I think, the harshness that they have, is that they're not being nourished physically. They're not watching the Matt Kahns and the other teachings that are bringing us life and light. And so that harshness comes out. So we have to move on, as you say. We have to recognize the state of their mind and their environment and their dis-ease condition. And we thank them for their honesty, and we move on, and we bless them. And we just pray and hope that the Creator will wake them up in His own timing, and that they will join us on the journey to become more enlightened and to transform from the harshness that you described. That's a very good word that we're seeing, is the harshness. And it's coming from the choices that they're making, the choices that they're making to stay in one place and a dead-end job, or job they hate, or to eat the dead foods and to eat, watch dead entertainment, and all of that is creating what you just described as that harshness. So we're grateful today. We're grateful that you are, number one, I'm grateful you're being protected on your journey, you're being guided, you're given strength day by day. Day by day, he is your shepherd, and he leads you day by day through the valley of the shadow of death or whatever valleys, and then up on the mountains and over the hills, so that you have no worries and no concerns, that you are exactly where you should be.
That's
healing, like you said. That's the healing part, is to be on the mission, to be thriving as you go, and to recognize that this is where we're supposed to be. And that those who are suffering from their disease, that they have to recognize it's time for a change. Any disease that's diagnosed in the body, it means it's time for a change. Whatever you've been doing up to that point, you sometimes have to do a 180-degree change to heal and overcome. And it's very possible when we set our minds to change the path we've been on. And how long were you? You were in Arizona for how long?
Well, this time I was there. I came in, I think it was November. No, it was my dad's Earth Day that I flew back from North Carolina on the 14th of December. I traveled out on my mom's Earth Day, and I traveled in on my dad's Earth Day. Or I leave out on my mom's homegoing day in September. Those are the three that I do my best to be in sync with.
Mm.
You know, I travel out on my mom's Earth Day or her homegoing day, which is September 22nd. Her Earth Day is December 12th, and I travel in on my dad's Earth Day, which is the 14th. Of December. And for some reason, sister, it seems to, everything seems to just flow when I travel on those particular days. I just, I watch stuff like that.
So your decision to make a change and to travel is based on what I'm hearing is numbers and dates of people, of your ancestors?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And if it doesn't quite flow like that, I just do my best to be okay with it and know that there's a reason of the timing that things are not quite in alignment. And I'm learning because of this particular time now that the Godfather and I are making this journey, I was thinking or hoping that it would be a lot sooner. But I'm learning that this is perfect timing because of where you are with your tiny house project and a lot of things that have been unfolding. If I had left earlier, I wouldn't have had the bounty of receiving these this unfoldment of a lot of things, sister. I wouldn't have. And a lot of people wouldn't have been in place till now. So sometimes it's just wise to be patient. It's even like with this truck. Thank God I was patient. I was patient, sister. It's a total blessing. A total, total blessing in this venture.
Yeah, and that's what I had a friend call me, and she had someone on the other line whose wife had been diagnosed with cancer. And she's always calling me to help them start off their journey to heal with some wisdom and knowledge from me about German New Medicine. And after talking to this guy and sharing with him, you know, some of the things that I've learned, all he could ask was, well, how long is it going to take? And so, and then I share with him, well, it just depends on what your goals are and what are some of the things you do. And then the same question again, well, how long will that take? It was like I could see where the problem was with him, at least, that he had no patience to work through whatever needed to be worked through to heal and to be free of disease. How are you going to be free of disease when you're impatient? Question. When you're continually asking, well, how long is it going to take? That means you have no. That's the lesson, in fact, that you need to learn through this. That you need to be patient.
Many of us, sister, we are expecting to go through the Mickey D's or the Jack in the Box or
that's right.
And those kinds of things, you know, drive through. They many, many years ago they even created in Vegas fast food marriages. You drive up like you know, you're picking up a taco or a burger, the drive-thru chapel, and it's crazy. So those you don't expect. You give them the tools. You cannot be coddling them. You give them, if they're really serious, they're going to take charge. You know, or they're going to get with other like-minded people that will assist them in guidance. If not, you know, you got to move on, period. You can't allow yourself to continue to be in their toxic world.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's the bottom line.
And it's not even the goal that is the most important, but the process. Look at your journey thus far. This process that you are exercising is all about learning when to rest. When do you need to rest? You can't be stuck on the goal of Virginia and say, I'm going to just drive straight through. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to meet anybody. My goal is to get to Virginia, and I'm not going to think about any of the process involved, just the goal. Well, can you imagine how frustrated and anxious people are because that's their thinking, is that I don't want to enjoy the process. There is a process in trying to heal anything in the human body. You have to go through a process of renewing your relationships, renewing your thoughts, renewing even some of your priorities, your beliefs, and your values. And I'm sure you've seen that as you've stopped and evaluated what you're seeing. And the people you're meeting, isn't that the best part of the journey, the whole process, step by step?
Like I'm parked right here by this Godfather. I started to get just back on the road and go, and I look over here, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to take a picture of this. I wish I could shrink it like Bewitched and shrink it. And put it in the truck. This is a bad, bad Mama Gemma Godfather here. It's, oh, my God. And I'm enjoying just being around. Let me close the door because the traffic. I'm going to go out there and sit and get the energy because it's such a sculpted piece of God's creation is an unusual shape. And I've been seeing unusually shaped stones and just rock formations, sister, and trees and grass is saying, come on, Mama AZ, come on over here and get in your bare feet and let us do some love and healing energy on you to help you with your travels. And this is real, sister. Mm-hmm. And if we're in a hurry, you know, we will not hear some of God's things that has been put together for our benefit.
That's right.
You know,
the lessons.
This is amazing.
Yeah, the lessons. We're going to miss the lessons if we're in a hurry.
Yes. And I get kind of like, okay, I'm so tired. Then I take a deep breath, like you said, breathe, and I get my oils and anoint those positions on my body. And I said, okay. I said, it's just time for me to look silly and just be. And that's exactly what I do. When people call me and I can't answer, I don't trip. I know that I will eventually get back with them because this is about reacclimation with this vegetation here on this side of the planet. Sister, I'm telling you, I am so dry. I can't even begin to express to you how drained I've been since Arizona, and I'm getting my cup full again, and I'm envisioning everyone coming together at Mothers for the Earth Reflective Gateways at 7 in Art. That too keeps me going, and seeing you and I working together to bring about a most heavenly awakening to this planet through Reflective Gateway, Mothers for the Earth. I see it. This is a phenomenal undertaking, and I see women all over the planet nailing, if they can't bring them, the Godfather, the stone, there to Virginia so that they can be placed in the medicine wheel. I see that we're preparing for a major gathering of the healing of women there at Mothers for the Earth in Virginia. I see that, sister.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I see that. I do. And bring your camera. Just that's what keeps me from falling asleep. A lot of the times I have to put my brain in envisioning you and I and others. This business of medicine women on the move, the Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women, Soul Purpose Healing, the whole nine yards. I see all of that, sister. I see it.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the lessons go on, and the beat goes on, and we are moving forward. And we're moving forward in our purpose. Yes, I think so. I love that song, and the beat goes on. No matter what, the beat goes on. As long as his heart is beating, we move forward in our mission, we move forward in our purpose, and we enjoy the journey every step of the way with all its challenges. We enjoy the journey and keep our heads high and remind ourselves what our assignment is Once we know what our assignment is, we can't fall back. We can't fall back.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So are you getting ready to camp for the night?
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm going to sit and have a conversation with this Godfather here and give thanks. And it's just calling me. Like I said, it is huge. It would take a big crane to take this.
Oh, my.
I'm serious. Sister, if I could, I would. But I can't. But that's okay. It's dangerous to be around me.
Well, enjoy the journey and enjoy the conversation.
Yes.
Because there's so much more ahead. And
yes,
stay in gratitude. Stay in gratitude.
Always, sister. Always, always.
Okay.
So I will sign off here, and I give thanks to the listeners, and I will chime back in Wednesday. I hope you're with me in person, and that's all I know, sister, because the beat goes on, and it ain't no stopping us now. So
please
get those two songs on for our next show. It's
okay. I'll do my best.
Okay. All right. I love us, and I'll chime back in as soon as I can.
All right. Shalom. Talk to you soon.
Shalom. Aho.
Aho. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you have any comments, now's the time to hit number one. And chime in. We're about at the end of our show today. And I think it's appropriate we end with a song about gratitude. We're full of gratitude tonight. So let us end with that. And everyone have a blessed week. Shalom.